Well, how was your New Year's Eve? Did you enjoy ringing in the new, or was the passing of the old just one more night in a never-ending series of evenings which had little, if any, kind of significance? And some of us celebrate that way, too, whatever trips your trigger. Hey, welcome to Perspectives as we kick off another brand new year on WFSU Public Media with informed conversation. And, of course, you are always welcome to be part of that discussion wherever and however it leads at 850-414-1234. You can also zip us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. I'm Tom Flanagan, and good to be back after a long extended holiday break. And we're ready to dive into some optimistic and happy kinds of discussion today, because coming off of some of the things that occurred over the holidays, the selection of a new police chief, and we had some protests and other kind of confrontational kinds of things going on, I thought, why not have something that we can speak positively about and look at some of the potentials of developing our area with a perhaps, for some folks, a new approach, but really it's kind of something that many people have been talking about. So let's go around and meet the panel. We are talking about the collision of culture and commerce, and that can be a happy meeting too. One person who we invited back to the microphones here to add to the discussion is a highly unique individual, and if you have ever heard him play, you know just how unique that is. Longinus Parsons, renowned trumpeter, music educator, and just an all-around great guy. It is so good to see you, sir. Oh,
thank you, Tom. Good to see you also. Thank you for having me here.
And we really want to tap some of that creative instinct that you have and how you can take a single note and do so many things with it. Most of us can't even imagine just blowing one note the way that you do, but then the places that you take it is just absolutely remarkable. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Speaking of the arts, the Council of Culture in the Arts, COCA by name, has, as of last year, a new executive director, Kathleen Spihar, who hails from the Twin Cities and came to Tallahassee to take up residence here and take over the COCA function. And Kathleen, it's so good to see you.
It's wonderful to be here, Tom. Thank you.
Since we are talking about economic development, who better to address that would be Christina Paredes, who is the director of the Office of Economic Vitality. And, I always trip over that. I don't know why. But it is so good to see you. Did you stay in town for the entire duration, Christina?
Tom, we went and visited family down in South Florida for a week and then spent the New Year's here in Tallahassee and had a wonderful time ringing it in.
Ah, good deal. We also have a gentleman who originally from Panama City, then Tallahassee, and then Austin, Texas, and now back in Tallahassee again, is Jonathan Conrad. And he kind of came up with the whole concept of this as culture being an economic development driver. So it is good to have you on deck, Jonathan. Thank you.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks so much.
A little bit of background here with the company you work for here, which is ISF. And what does that stand for?
It used to stand for Information Systems of Florida. We've been around for about 40 years, and a few years back we changed it just to ISF. We're focused on information technology management consulting services, really mostly in state government, which is actually why I moved over to Texas as well, opening our office out in Austin. The whole idea behind solving the future for state government and helping our clients take their vision and blend it with our expertise and get them where they're trying to go.
Well, anyone who has visited Austin, Texas knows that particularly Longinus, when it comes to music, you just walk down 6th Street at seemingly any hour of the evening and you're going to hear just about every sort of musical offering that you can imagine, from old-fashioned bluegrass to death metal. I mean, it's the whole panoply is down there. Is that where you got the idea that something similar would be of advantage to a Tallahassee area, Jonathan, when it comes to having entrepreneurial businesses like the one you're involved with locate here?
You know, it was very interesting living there for 5 years, having been in Florida for so long. And going there, living there for 5 years, coming back, and then seeing the differences and similarities. And that's the thing, is there are so many similarities between what Austin is and has become and what Tallahassee is and will be. And I was able to, you know, just kind of look at what it is they focused on and where we are. You know, there's so much, there's so many discussions around STEM right now and around really focusing on getting people into science, technology, engineering, math, really getting our school system is focused on that and just kind of building that capability. And here in Tallahassee, we have a lot of skill sets in that area. Obviously, we've got the MagLab. We've got all these different things that we talk about. But one of the things I realize is that what Austin did and the reason why they are now a technology center and the new Silicon Valley, if you will, everybody's moving to Austin and they have such growth over there. And the reason why that's happening is not because they said, we want to be a technology hub. It's not because they said, we want to be good in STEM. Let's go do that. They actually, back in the 80s, decided we want to be a cultural hub. We want to be a creative center. And they started things like South by Southwest, and they started things like Austin City Limits, and they did all these things where they invested in the creative aspects of their community and said, we want to create the lifestyle that people want to be a part of, that we want to really open up. And I've kind of started a phrase where I'm saying, you know, let's grow our creative capacity by giving creative liberty. That's really what they decided to do. And I think that in doing that, what that ended up doing years later is drawing the kind of people that they wanted to bring to their community. And now they're a technology hub because, you know, the people who are great developers and great technologists and great technicians and all of the sciences and all the math, those are really, they're also artists and they're creators. And they want to be culture creators, not just culture consumers. So these are people that really wanted to do that, and they were drawn to that lifestyle, and now it's brought the talent that has turned Austin into what it is. And I think that we can do that here in Tallahassee. You know, we have the same kinds of talent, the same kinds of creative energy, a great culture. We've got a lot of things that we can push, and I'll say what really sparked this for me and us having this conversation was when we moved back here, my son was, he just started being a trumpet player, which I was too, and I'm really excited to launch news here. But, you know, really proud moment for my son to start playing trumpet in middle school. In Austin, I was blown away at the kind of investment they have in that community for music. As part of the school system, he not only had a band director, but he had an individual trumpet teacher. And he had individual trumpet classes, and he had after-school counseling and coaching on trumpet playing. And it was all invested in every instrument in the band had this. Saxophone classes, you know, trombone classes, all of them had this investment because they wanted them to grow their skills. And then they would come together and play a part in the entire band. When we moved back here, it was really a sad moment for me that my son came to me and said he was not having a great time in band. And I was asking him why, and he said that it was very small. And then his first concert, I recognized what happened. I mean, go to his first concert, the teacher actually had to say at the beginning of the concert, I'm sorry to the parents that the band is so much smaller this year. And he said, all of the students have been told they needed to focus on STEM, so they all dropped band. And that, to me, was just the wrong direction. It's just the wrong direction. Because those skills that he will learn in band and in the music and the arts will really inform his capabilities in development or technology later.
Well, since you already name-checked Longenue, we have backed away from the arts education in the public school system. And even at yes. FAMU and Florida State, they got to scramble to get the resources to do what they do right now, don't they?
Well, yes. There seems to be a perception of around the board of having... having to focus on STEM as though it's something separate from the artistic part of what a human being is. And what we're missing out on by doing that are certain basic skills that young people learn for life, that they learn through music or some kind of training in the arts, and that now they're getting less of it. So in the end, it's going to hurt all of the other stuff that they're trying to help. So I feel like it's a very misinformed movement. And I'll give some examples in my own training. I was a STEM person first before moving over to music. And there's certain skills that I have to use, that I've had to develop as a musician, that are critical for all those other things that I've had to deal with, you know, like being able to keep your mind on one thing and do it for a while, you know, like practicing an instrument. You have to be by yourself and work on your thing, whatever that is, for hours at a time so that you can uphold your part of the bargain when you're sitting in the ensemble and everybody must play their part, right? What business does not function like that? You know, what other thing, or what if you were in a laboratory? Don't lab workers have to function like that?
Well, you have to function as a team, but you also, as you pointed out, have to have that individual self-discipline to reach that level of competence where you can work with other people on the team.
Yeah, you have to hold up your part, whatever that is. Whatever your job is, you're responsible for it. You have to do it, so that we as a group can accomplish our goals, so that we can win the game. I mean, it's the same as an athletic team. You know, we talk about athletics, what young people learn through athletics because of having to work on their skills, work together, get along with people. What's the difference?
Dan, if I may, you know, the same adding to that, we as an organization, we're always looking for talented individuals to come in, and you know, we're a software company and we're also a management consulting firm, and our clients are looking to us to bring solutions for them. They may have a vision, they're trying to figure out how to get there. We're here to provide solutions. And one of the things is that we could have a stellar developer, somebody who knows how to develop code exceptionally well, but if they can't think of a creative solution, then what they're going to provide is not going to be new, it's not going to be creative, it's not going to be, you know, innovative. We need people who are going to come and bring ideas as well as technical ability. To be able to bring those two things together, we just can't focus on one side of it.
The coalescence of culture and commerce, as we said at the outset here on our New Year's edition of Perspectives, the first one of a brand new year, and you are always welcome to be part of that discussion at 850-414-1234. Or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. Back on Perspectives, a reminder, you can always find us online at wfsu.org. Just go to our handy-dandy address, click on Radio, pull down the Local Programs menu, and then Perspectives will be amongst the offerings you can select. We archive past shows, try to have the latest program up within 24 hours of when it actually airs. So you can go back and hear it again and again and again. Culture, the arts, creativity, how that plays into an area's aspirations when it comes to economic development. And Christina Paredes, that is your bailiwick here. When you're talking to potential prospects for new business and industry, does this come up as part of that discussion where they will ask, gee, what kind of a town is Tallahassee when it comes to a creative culture?
We certainly do highlight the creative culture that exists in Tallahassee. We because it helps promote innovation and inclusiveness for amongst businesses. And we know that today's economy is so much built on a knowledge economy, and workers are attracted to innovation and arts and the offerings that we have here to build a well-rounded community. Richard Florida said that access to talented and creative people is to modern business what access to coal and iron were to the steelmaking factories. So along that line, promoting all the innovation that we have here, the wonderful arts that are curated under COCA's leadership there too, partners such as KCCI and Choose Tallahassee, all highlighting the many different offerings that we have is important too as we communicate who we are as Tallahassee.
We also know, though, that Kathleen Spihar, artists sometimes are a little bit more centered on one faction of the brain than perhaps the other. They may be really good when it comes to creativity, but when it comes to cohesiveness of purpose or any of those kinds of attributes, maybe not so much. How does COCA essentially herd the cats?
So COCA, being the local arts agency for Tallahassee and Leon County, offers a lot of services to artists and to businesses and other organizations that are located in the city and the county. And so our own staff are trained to help coach, guide, advise, find more resources, and especially listen to what the community needs in areas where they feel uncomfortable, or perhaps, you know, they're smart people, but they just don't have the same kind of skill set. So what can we do as an organization? We ask ourselves, what can we do to continually help out our community in this way? And so we always look at our programs that we offer and continue to build on those. And they can be anywhere from a workshop in marketing to a grant writing consultation to a business consult for your own creative work that you're doing. So it's any and all of those things that are combined together, the services that COCA offers.
A very good friend of mine, and full disclosure, a former bandmate of mine who moved from Central Florida to Tallahassee, one of the most ridiculously talented guitarists I have ever heard, had never gotten a real job until he moved to Tallahassee. He thought, being a university town, there would be a plethora of night spots where he could pursue his career here. He had to go out within the first 6 months and actually get a day job because it was impossible for him to make a livelihood playing music, as he had done in Central Florida for probably the first 35 years of his life. Longinus, does that still hold true?
Oh yeah, most certainly. It's a student town to a great degree, so you have a lot of music going on, but you can't make a living at it here.
Which is incredibly sad when you see the number of stellar performers who were coming out of FAMU and FSU.
Well, yes, but I think this is a trend nationwide and probably worldwide, that, how do I say, playing locally you just can't make enough money playing locally wherever you are. I mean, even if it's New York City.
I agree with that. If you look from city to city, it doesn't matter what region of the country you're in either. Most of the time, you're going to find artists are going to continually flow in and flow out of the community because they of the type of work that they're pursuing and also the opportunities. Now, I think that's something that Tallahassee can certainly look at and the flow in, too. So we have our local musicians, but then who else can we have that would flow into our community that also could continue to add to that very vibrant arts and cultural offerings that we have here. It also gives an opportunity for this kind of collaboration across the country. And you're seeing, especially, and it's not just generational, though I think it used to be, but especially you're seeing more and more collaboration happening from cities to cities or regions to regions with musicians and artists that are doing unique projects. And it would be great to do them in, you know, their two central locations, you know, wherever their home bases are. And so that there's an opportunity there, too. So I look at what some of the challenges have been and what challenges continue to be in the creative industries, but how can we make those into more of opportunities? And that's something that we to look at our COCA, too. So how can our services and what we do and how we coach and work with our creative community, how can we kind of lift this idea up and turn these challenges into more opportunities?
Kind of what you're doing with your business, Jonathan Conrad, when it comes to information technology. You can be anywhere and collaborate with someone halfway around the world.
Absolutely.
And maybe what Kathleen's talking about here, cultural collaborations and using this as and COCA as some type of a hub to help make that happen.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, what we've talked about here a lot is that these individuals and people that are going to be the musicians, and a lot of them are not looking necessarily to make a living at just being a musician. As a matter of fact, a lot of the people, again, in our recruiting and when we're reaching out and trying to bring talent to Tallahassee, a lot of them, one of the things they want to know is that they are a consultant and they're a senior consultant. They're great at what they do, but they're also a musician. They love music and arts and creative culture. And so they want to know, where are the venues that I can practice that part of my life, and which makes me a better consultant as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so Unfortunately, they think that Tallahassee doesn't have these kinds of opportunities. And I think that we're trying to grow that. And I think that if we were to focus on that aspect as she just mentioned, having opportunities for people to practice their skills and their arts and their music capabilities, and giving them a venue to do that. And, you know, again, using Austin as an example, you've got Austin City Limits. That's what it's all about. It's about building this opportunity for the exposition of music and culture and arts, and being able to show people, give them an opportunity to go. And it's not just the big shows that happen during that event, but it's also there's music all over the town during that event. You know, there's just people having a great time, and it's just about giving them a place to express that talent. And I think if we do that as a community, and again, it's not just about creating a place for a musician to be a musician. It's about creating a place for an individual who is good at a lot of things to be able to practice all the things that they want to do and to have a lifestyle to do it. And again, giving them that creative latitude and freedom to do that, and giving them those opportunities. And I think that if we were to invest in that and support those local venues, support local businesses, support, you know, that, again, that local aspect of it is important as well. One of the biggest things about Austin is there, you've heard Keep Austin Weird, you know, they have this pride in their community, this pride in local. Chain restaurants struggle out there because all the local restaurants are really the focus. And if we do that here, I mean, that's just those examples of just those local restaurants, by the way, become the venues for music. They become, you know, it's just how are we investing in the lifestyle that we're trying to create that draws those people here?
Yeah, but as soon as you say investment, you're talking money. And Christina, where does that come from?
Well, a lot can be organically, too. You know, Jonathan, you mentioned food out in Austin and locally restaurants. Here you got a great homegrown, grassroots-oriented Facebook group, Tallahassee Foodies, that people are commenting on every day, the food and the experiences that they've had at our locally owned restaurants. And we, this holiday season, our office spent some time highlighting the cultural experiences that you can have, as well as some locally owned businesses, from bookstores to bike shops. We know that having a strong creative economy attracts and retains talented individuals. And we do a wonderful job in Tallahassee highlighting our cultural assets in the springtime with organizations such as Visit Tallahassee and COCA and the many, many festivals that we have. I think springtime is my favorite time to be in Tallahassee. From the Lemoyne Arts Show to Word of South, a three-day festival celebrating arts and or music and literature. That festival, I think, enters its fifth year this year, and that's a really exciting opportunity to highlight our community as well. So we do a great job in the springtime, too, is that, and making sure that last year round, we have FSU does their opening nights that went from 7 days in the fall to now a year-round opportunity to see different types of cultural. You have the Tallahassee Symphony. So I think we're doing a lot in that area. It's a matter of celebrating it and getting people to attend and becoming more aware of the many cultural assets that we have here and translate that into helping attract and retain talented individuals.
Which plays right into an email we just got here. Carolyn says, we've been having this conversation for years. Does the panel have any tangible steps for making this a reality, or perhaps we should say an even greater reality? And what's new about what's being proposed? How do we move this from a conversation to action? That's one of the things that you and I talked about, Kathleen.
Exactly. So one of the things that COCA really wants to accomplish as far as a rootedness is to work together to place arts and culture that represents the entire community at the very center. And so creating visibility for artists and organizations and programs is a large part of that. Well-resourced or resourced communities can invest that into the arts and culture. And so we're looking at how do we continue to use the assets that we already have, the economic assets that we have, to build more assets that would come into the community to be used to build arts and culture. There's also the idea of the collaboration between a business, you know, kind of what we considered maybe non-traditional collaborations between businesses or between, let's say, the arts and environment, or between public-private partnerships, or even a kind of a coalition or a cohort of business owners that would want to make arts and cultural investments. For example, I've seen businesses where there's a theater on the first floor of an apartment complex, or there is a hotel that's specifically in Oklahoma City, and there's this hotel that specifically has a rotating art gallery. In Kansas City, they have a historic building right in the center of their downtown that they actually present both music, touring musical and touring art shows in. So there's many different ways that you could look at actually developing businesses differently here. And I think it just is about collective will to get everyone together and to agree that this is going to happen, come up with the plan, the budget, and then make it happen. And those steps, though it sounds simple, are sometimes long-term, sometimes short-term. But if there's a collective will to do this, then we can certainly make that happen.
And sorry, I would add to that as well, that there are things that we can do that are very tactical that as a community, as an organization at ISF, I tell my team that my job is just to get out of their way and let them do what they do well. And I think that applies to how we want to grow our creative economy as well. We have to get out of the way of ourselves in a lot of cases. And that is not always, it's not about just investment in money, it's investment in the decision to do this, right? Which means eliminating policies and you know, ordinances that would inhibit the ability to have concerts or, you know, the music venues we're talking about. There's different things that need to happen to change what it is we're invested in. Another thing, too, is how we track and really look at what we're doing as a community. So we've mentioned Austin several times. They have as part of their strategic plan, a creative economy. And the development of a creative economy in their strategic plan, they have and Christina and I were talking about this a little bit too, that they track all of this data. You can go on and look at their website of all the data that they're tracking around how are they doing in meeting this objective. And so they track things like the number of cultural contract applications that people have submitted to the city for support. The number of participants in any cultural workshops or attendance for any cultural events, the number of the overall investment by the city in arts, you know, all these different things that they're looking at, because, you know, you're not going to accomplish what you don't measure, right? So the whole idea behind this is that they've got to measure what we're doing. And I think there's some the investment is not just financial, it's also just in our own focus and what we're doing. The other would be, you know, we've talked a lot about, and this goes to policy as well. We've talked a lot about the arts and music venues, things like that, but there's also things like maker spaces. And when I mentioned local businesses, local communities, local events, it's not just events and things. It's also those that are trying to be culture creators. So there's a group called Making Awesome. One of our employees actually helps run this. They have this venue that I went and toured just to see what it was like. And it really is just it's a place where members can go and they can do jewelry. They can make jewelry. They can do metalworking, woodworking. They can do electronics. It's just a place to make stuff, right? And it just gives them the freedom to do maybe what they can't do in their day-to-day life. So they go there after hours and they just start making jewelry or doing whatever. It gives them that opportunity to do that. But how are we supporting those kinds of groups? How are we getting behind them? Because they're the ones that are going to draw people that give them the opportunity to create, right?
And when Jonathan and I were talking, I said, it's really nice, you know, Austin does a great example of highlighting it, and it's also part of our strategic plan, as our long-term economic development strategic plan is to highlight the creative economy. And we're just the goal was to roll into that going into 2020, and we're sitting down with the team talking about how we can celebrate the assets that we have here, communicate that, and measure that moving forward. Because like I said, that creative economy is pivotal and and very important to keeping and attracting talent here. The COCA about in 2017 did a economic impact analysis of the arts and cultural and heritage businesses in our community, and their total economic impact was just under $500 million. So celebrating that in a way that we can all row in the same direction to the question earlier through what's outlined in the economic development strategic plan, what our employees are looking for from an creative economy, and to what the offerings it has at COCA. And Leon County Tourism has a whole penny dedicated to culture and arts, too, that comes out of your bed tax dollars to help promote the cultural economy.
We have another email that just came in. Michelle wanted to know what happened to TLH Arts. Any idea? That's a great question. I had not heard that one before either. We did have TLH Arts, as I recall. It was more than just a hashtag.
Sure. I can address a little bit of that. There's the TLH Arts is still around, and I think the idea is still under development of putting together a performing arts center in Tallahassee. So I think there's a committee that's working on this. The idea is still here. They're still fundraising for it, and I think I would say keep listening because I'm sure that there's going to be some more news about this in 2020.
Okay, we will keep that in mind, and we will keep your questions in mind as well as soon as you submit one here to Perspectives, either via phone or email. Phone is 850-414-1234. Perspectives@WFSU.org is the email address, and we're talking about how the arts, creativity, can be used as a leverage to bring in more business, industry, entrepreneurial spirit, whatever you think is connected to that, to our own community. And we'd love to hear from you as we continue the conversation in just a moment. We are back on Perspectives, and let's see, we got Jonathan Conrad and Christina Paredes and Kathleen Spihar and Longinus Parsons here with us to talk about how the arts and creativity can make the entire community more attractive and livable and quality of life and all that kind of thing. And Longinus, your last name is neither Robinson nor Thrasher, but since you're kind of the fill-in for the university community, our 900 or 900,000-pound gorilla, I guess, here in the area, how can our institutions of higher learning kind of kick into this whole thing? Because everyone's looking out kind of for their own venues, their own programs, that sort of thing. But can there be more, do you think, not just community outreach, but also cross-pollination between FAM and FSU and TCC, certainly, when it comes to these sorts of things?
The truth is, there's even trouble with cross-pollination on any one campus between the various departments and schools. I hear about it from my colleagues all the time. And there is more of a trend towards this now. It doesn't seem to be moving that fast. So as far as actually speaking of cross-pollination, we are working on one thing concerning FAMU and TCC, in that we have a music industry program now at FAMU where we're training students not just to be just musicians and just knowledgeable about the ins and outs of playing an instrument or something, but to learn how to actually do business, to take accounting and marketing and public relations and such things. And we are collaborating with TCC to make their program go smoothly into ours so their students can come to us and learn how to really exploit the same things that Jonathan's talking about. So we think that we're going to be putting out people who are going to fit very well within what Jonathan was talking about people doing music as a part of what they do. Because, I mean, let's face it, the reason to study music doesn't have to be a professional musician, to be the world's greatest violin player. Music is something that we can love and do for the love of it, and we all grow because of that. As I was saying earlier about those skills and such things. So what we can offer as universities is that we have these classes that people can take. We have ensembles people can be in. We have performances that people can attend, most at no charge. So that's one thing. And we as universities have to come out of our ivory towers. You know, and I'm from the old style of musical training where we really learned to be snobs. and take pride in it, you know. And that's not the life I lead, but I can speak for the training. So that's one more problem in this cross-pollination thing we're talking about, because we have to come and be more members of the communities that we serve.
It's a great point that you make, though, about the fact that it's important to have a very wide resume when you're going into the creative industries, because especially now, creative industries are cross-pollinating. Yeah. And so you need to make sure that you have enough a knowledge base and enough business skills to be able to flow very easily from one to the other. There's so many creative projects that are happening that are, cross-disciplinary, and it's super exciting. Mm-hmm. But a traditional education sometimes isn't necessarily going to set you up for that, but that's bending, it's flowing, right? It's all getting pulled at. But it's part of that and proposition of I can be, a scientist and a musician and, that there's many things that you can do in your lifestyle choice and in your career choice. And these kinds of flows also work both ways, the arts and humanities influences that are positive to how they influence industry. It's huge. And so I would love to have a conversation with the university presidents and talk about, what's their kind of arts and culture plans for campuses and how those, if there are ones, and if there are, for COCA, how can COCA help promote that or encourage that and help the campuses all work together? I think my simple math was there's about 75 or 80,000 students total. Is that correct? With all those three universities together, and that's a lot of knowledge and intellect and entrepreneurship to keep here in the area and to also work on this whole idea of how our community is going to look different, how to keep arts and culture in the center and the core of your living and your life, and for people that are visiting here, the kinds of folks that are going to be meeting on the streets and at events here, that is going to end up being a really innovative, creative kind of person with great conversations.
And we know that people who are particularly jazz trumpeters and are well-schooled in the art of improvisation. That is one of the most valuable skills you can have in responding to life as you are thrown all kinds of unexpected developments in your existence, and you're able to respond and move around and do the best you can with what you get.
Most certainly. I was speaking with a Wall Street banker once who, a friend of mine, in his earlier life, he had been a flute player and all of this and wrote music and stuff. And he said his background in music gave him a serious advantage when dealing in the banking industry, because instead of thinking straight, he would think a little bit to the side here and there and come up with ideas that the other people might not come up with.
There you go. We have emails just flowing in, guys. Julie wrote, there really needs to be a good weekly arts newspaper for Tallahassee. We all know the limelight. That's in the Democrat, which used to be much more expanded than what it is right now. We understand the staffing restrictions that you got over there with a Democrat, but she thinks it would make a big difference in drawing people out to music venues and other arts events if there was one main weekly paper that was much more thorough in listing nightly music venues and events as well. We will throw in a plug for Cultural Notes, which is our online service we have here at WFSU. But in the era of social media, though, do we need a new paper? Or can we make this happen, Kathleen, with just what we got here?
COCA does have a weekly listing, and there's over 100 events and classes that you can take. You can actually self-populate that. That's at TallahasseeArts.org. You can also list a creative profile there. These are all free services, part of what we do. For any of the artists and creative industry businesses, you can create that profile. You can list your events. You can post a job, you can find a job. That's not the same thing as a newspaper. However, we do generate a fair amount of content out of COCA, articles that have been sometimes picked up by the Democrat, and that we post on our Facebook page. We also have an Instagram account. So you can definitely look at COCA and at the existing places where we're posting stories about our community and projects and artists and so on that we're doing. So that's at least a really great start.
Okay, and Visit Tallahassee has it too, I believe, right, Christina?
They do, and the COCA resource is great. We use that every week when we're looking at things to do for the weekend too. So the arts guide that you produce is wonderful. But Visit Tallahassee does promote local events and concerts along those lines too, so you can get that online.
Absolutely. And Visit Tallahassee and COCA are working more closely together this year to make that happen.
Ah, and Curry Post said that they've revamped the website and will be a lot more. A new app is coming online, a whole bunch of things there, so you can just go and find out what's going on.
She's a great partner for that, too. So
that idea of newspaper and the content that's driven, I take the content out of that comment and say, what can we do to generate more content about the stories and information about all of this, and then how can we crowdsource it, in a sense, through our contacts, through our business communities and our existing content, our existing context, to make this information and get out to the community and beyond.
Susan writes, I wholeheartedly agree with arts, performing, and visual as a means of making Tallahassee attractive and putting us on the map, but I keep hearing Austin and keep Austin weird. Longtime residents and artists from Austin would tell you that Austin isn't weird anymore, in part because business has made it normal. And she fears the same thing is going to happen here with more chain hotels and mattress stores instead of allowing the funky and artistic ventures to take hold organically and grow. I keep having vivid mental images of Railroad Square. I don't know what that is, but well, what do you think, Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And it's kind of interesting because having just lived there and coming back, it's definitely weird, and it's still weird, but in a way that it's more than just the whole being weird, but it's just a culture and community of people that just love their community. And the thing is, we have all of that here, and that's one thing that I want to circle back to, is that Tallahassee has everything that we're talking about that we want to explore and expand and do. There's so much creative energy here. There's so much talent here. There's so many things that we can continue to build on. The key is just, how are we continuing to promote it? How are we continue to kind of grow that energy? And the whole idea that she's touching on there about growth being kind of a challenge in and of itself is true. Austin, let's not paint just a completely rosy picture. They've got problems over there. They've grown. They've outpaced their infrastructure. They've had so much fast growth that they've got, things like a homeless problem that is going on there. They've got a high unemployment rate. They've got a lot of things that have happened because they've expanded so quickly. And that's one of the things that I think we would have to balance. And I think that, you know, again, speaking of ISF, we have two of our core values are growth and stability. And it's kind of funny because those two things together, you would be like, well, wait a minute, how can you have both? But that's the point. You want to grow, but not at the expense of stability. And so I think that you just define what it is, the culture that you want. You're gonna try to grow that. You're going to try to increase those, you know, as we're talking the arts and creative culture. But how do we do it in a way that stabilizes it, that keeps it the way we want it to be, that keeps our community the way we want it to be? I think you can do both.
That is the constant juggling act that you have, because we hear that all the time. You cut down a tree along the FAMU Way extension, and suddenly you have people coming out of the woodwork saying, we never should have cut that tree, but how else are you going to extend FAMU Way? So you see this as a continuing source of, shall we say, confrontation, Christina, or what?
Well, I think we need to look at what we are really good at in our community. What makes us unique from a world perspective? What do we have here that no one else in the world has? How do we build a business cluster in and around that and promote the creative economy to keep and retain that talent here? You know, you look at things like technology-based companies here that are rooted in government contracts that are just continuing to grow as every industry becomes more relying on that technology, as Jonathan and I have talked about. And then you have the Mag Lab here and building and creating companies in and around that and to create creative conversations to help market that too as a big asset. And you look at our film school, it's ranked number 13 in the nation as far as, I think that's right, here at Tallahassee. And how do we continue to highlight and promote that? You know, we have to look at what are the assets that we have and take those as opportunities and seize upon it.
You know, I'm sorry, I'll just say one thing is, you know, the best way not to lose your identity is to know your identity. And I think part of our challenge in Tallahassee is, what does it mean to be a Tallahassean? What is, you know, again, we kind of jokingly reference the Keep Austin Weird mantra, but what's funny about that mantra is that they know who they are and they love it and they grasp it and they promote it and everybody always, that's what they talk about. And that in and of itself helps keep that culture going because it is its own thing. It's become its own brand. What is Tallahassee? You know, and I think a lot of people, when we're recruiting people here, that's one of the first questions they ask. What is Tallahassee? What is it like? What does it mean to be there? What is the sense of place we're trying to create? And I don't know that we really have that wholeheartedly defined. And so as we do this and as we grow, and if this is what we become and we're able to really build on these strengths that we have, let's define it and let's hold on to it. The way you're going to lose it is if you don't do that, then you're just kind of blowing with the wind, right? And you don't want that to happen either.
Yeah, a buddy of mine who's a bit of a comedian had posited that perhaps our marketing statement could be something like, Tallahassee, we're not Camden. Poor Camden. I don't know. Are we less dependent now on state government than we were, like, even, I don't know, 15 years ago, Christina?
Yes, we definitely are. We just updated our GDP and saw that grow. I think right now we have 74% of our GDP comes from the private sector compared to 69 about 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yes. So
that's
significant. Yes, we are. Our private sector is growing strongly here, adding jobs year over year. I think it's with the help of great partners, definitely, to help promote that. And, you know, that's what the economic development's a team sport. And it's all of us working around the table to have these conversations about how we're going to retain and attract talent, how we grow our creative economy, how we identify as who we are of Tallahassee. So it's a great opportunity right now to be having these types of conversations.
Well, we're going to have to bring this conversation to an end very quickly, but Longinus Parsons, I definitely want to touch base with you. What is your New Year's wish for the arts here in this community?
That we just do more and better. You know, the thing about the arts that I've known, that I've seen through my life as a person in the arts, is that practicing the arts, being around the arts, is really a force for bringing people together, for helping people to get past differences, for getting us to be a little more human with each other. And that's the real value. And so my New Year's wish for Tallahassee is that we just have more and better. just more, because we have so much good stuff going on here already. There's so many talented people and people who are so proficient, and they're out here doing their stuff here in Tallahassee. So just, I would like to see everybody get out and experience more and just let this whole thing grow.
I think we have a consensus around the table.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sounds great.
That works. Thank you, Longinus Parsons. I appreciate it. And Kathleen Spehar, it is so good to have you here in Tallahassee and at the helm of COCA. We hope that you have a wonderful new year as well here in the capital city, okay?
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it.
Christine Paredes, always a delight to talk to you and to find out where you're coming from and where we are going as far as a community. So we'll continue this conversation probably with the next couple months. Yeah. Thanks so much.
I echo what Longitude said. Get out and experience Tallahassee.
And for you, Jonathan Conrad, without whom all this would not have been possible, thank you for suggesting a terrific topic and for being part of this. And all the best to you and the folks at ISF.
Okay? Thank you so much.
Perspectives produced by WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. Executive producer for our little get-together here is the incredible Taylor Cox. And back behind the glass answering the interconnects is the amazing Lida Rawls. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Coming up next week, we are going to talk about something that persists being a problem for Florida in particular. It is the scourge of human trafficking. What is being done? What more is being done heading into the new year than perhaps heretofore? We will find out next week right here on Perspectives. Have a good week.
Perspectives is a production of WFSU Public Media. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts.